This message was recorded during the coronavirus lockdown in 2020 by Audacious Church Senior Pastor Glenn Barrett. Thank you for listening to this Audacious Church podcast.
Hey, Audacious Church, welcome to part 3 on Word to the Wise. We've been talking about wisdom the last 2 Sundays in online church. Understanding, firstly, in week 1, what it is to be wise, that wisdom builds a strong house, that it's a journey, and that wisdom is available, and that actually it helps us to have strong lives, strong marriages, strong families, strong everything. Last Sunday, we talked about how to be a wise person. What does that look like? What does that mean? And today, we're going to talk about how to make wise decisions. Because the reality is this, is that every single one of us right now in this season, we understand the potential outcome to all the choices that we make. Wise decision making is absolutely integral to being a wise person and being a strong house. You may remember from week 1 that we said that wisdom is a journey. And the journey to wisdom involves making wise choices, wise decisions. So that's the focus for our time today. I'm going to give you 5 myths on decision making. And then get this, I'm going to give you my top 10 tips for making good decisions. So I hope you got your journal ready and your phone, however you're taking notes. But before we get into it, let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time that we have together. I pray for all of our Audacious Church family as they sit at home being a part of this online church service. Physically, we can't gather, but we're so thankful for our digital technology. Lord, I pray that even right now, your word would truly make sense in our hearts and lives. Help us to build strong houses through lives based in wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me give you 5 myths about decision making, and let me see if you recognize any of these in your life. The first myth for good decision making is this, is God's will is hard to find. Many people think that's the case. It's difficult to discern God's will. Proverbs 6:22 says this, when you walk, they, that is God's word, will guide you. When you sleep, God's word will watch over you. When you awake, God's word will speak to you. And the fact is this, is that even though sometimes the emotions of the moment can kind of seem and feel bigger than God's will in our lives, the reality, my friend, is this, is that God's will is not hard to find. And it'll come out in our 10 top tips to decision making in a moment. The second myth in decision making is that ease indicates God's way. The Bible says this in Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord. And so because of that, sometimes we think that ease indicates God's way. But you know, one of the things that I've often talked to you about over the years about the steps of a good man and good woman is this, is that even though the Bible says the steps are ordered by the Lord, it doesn't really tell us about the nature of those steps. Sometimes those steps are going uphill. Sometimes the steps are going downwards. Sometimes the steps are on the spot. Sometimes they're a shuffle to the left or a shuffle to the right. Sometimes those steps are going backwards. So even though our steps are ordered by God, it's not true to say that ease indicates God's way. The third myth in decision-making is I need to feel peace. I need to feel peace. And the reality is this, is that I don't think peace in and of itself is a great litmus test for wise decision making. Peace. I think sometimes peace comes down to a feeling that maybe we have. One of my questions is this, did Jesus feel good about dying on the cross? Probably not. It's probably because there's a big difference between true peace and feeling. Sometimes we use peace as an excuse for us to get our own way in things, when in actual fact, we need more than just a feeling of peace. The fourth kind of myth about decision-making is that the pros have to outweigh the cons. Do you ever taught that in school? Get a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. If you need to make a decision, you put the pros on one side, the cons on the other. And I think it's a myth when it comes to scriptural decision making, because when you think of all the characters of old, you think about Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Daniel and Paul and all the others. If they need a pros and cons column, then the cons would have always far outweighed the pros. I don't think it's a great way to make big decisions. And the fifth myth about decision making is this, is that some people say, well, I'm just a bad decision maker. And the reality is this, is that we all make bad decisions. But the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. So even though you've made bad decisions, you are one good decision away from becoming a good decision maker. So let me give you my top 10 tips on how to make wise decisions. And the first way we make a wise decision is to ask ourselves the question, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about this issue? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, let me just give you a few verses on this. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So in the decision you're about to make, does it glorify God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? I think it's important in that, in decision making, to know that the Bible's saying, don't connect darkness and light together. Another verse, Proverbs 22:7, about your money. How's this for a good scripture verse? What does the Bible say about your money? It says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. So be careful where you borrow and what you borrow. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent or if anything worthy of praise, then dwell on these things. And so the Bible, the question is this, is what does the Bible say? And I think in the majority of decisions that we need to make in life, the Bible has a lot of things to say about it. That's why the first series that we did in online church was so important, understanding the Bible. How do you read the Bible? Because that helps you to make wise decisions in life. The second top tip to making wise decisions is this, get the facts. Get the facts. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who gives an answer before he hears is folly and shame. I mean, have you ever jumped to a conclusion? You ever heard half a detail or half a fact, and for you, one and one has made three, and all of a sudden you've jumped to the wrong conclusion? The Bible says this in Proverbs 18, 17. It says, the first to plead his case seems right to everyone until another one comes along and examines it. And I think it's so important for us in all of the decisions that we need to make in life to get the facts, to know what facts there are. In other words, be like my children when we're watching movies, especially when they were younger. Whenever there was a movie, they would be asking the questions as, why is this? How's that? When's that? What does this mean? Question after question after question. And what were they doing? They were trying to understand. They were trying to get the facts. So I think in life, get the facts. It'll help you. Thirdly, third key to making wise decisions is to reject the pressure to make the decision. Reject the pressure. Proverbs 19:2, it is not good to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs, makes mistakes. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. I think sometimes in life, there's absolute pressure for that once-in-a-lifetime deal or opportunity. And I would say to you, church, be very careful of those once-in-a-lifetime moments. Beware of instant gratification. You know, it's like when you walk into the shops and it says ticket price is this, buy now and save 20%, and you're umming and ahhing about it, and the salesperson comes and says, well, if you don't buy it today, it may not be here tomorrow. Wisdom rejects the pressure to make the decision. And I would encourage every single one of you, don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. When you're in doubt, leave it out. Reject the pressure to make the decision. The fourth top tip for making wise decisions is to honestly evaluate your motives. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs our motives. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says this, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin? Who can genuinely say that? So I think it's so important for us in life to really, truly, honestly assess our motives. You know, we all have blind spots. We all have things in our life that we're not really aware of. And one thing that I do know is this, is that God won't honor the motives of self-indulgence, which is why we all need to have people speaking into our lives. I think that's why life groups are so good. Being on team in church life is so good. I think that's why it's so good to have people in your world who you trust, who you look up to, who can speak into your lives, who can help you to identify the blind spots. I think it's really sad when somebody is clearly able to identify our blind spot, and yet because what they've identified doesn't match with what we're feeling, all too often we can ignore sound advice and go on what we feel we want to do. And once again, our emotions have betrayed us, and our emotions can cause us to make foolish decisions, which is why it's so important here that we should honestly evaluate our motives. The question is why? Why do I want to do this? Why am I making this decision? Why am I making this crucial life decision? What are the motives of my heart? The fifth key to making a wise decision is this, is to use your past to help you. And Audacious Church, I would encourage you to use your past really well. Look at this horrible verse in Proverbs 26, 11. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who returns to his folly. Wow. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 10, a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. In other words, learn the lessons of the past. Learn from situations that have gone well and have gone sour in your life historically. Because the fact is this, is that our family background can either taint us or equip us. It can either hold us back or it can propel us into moving forward as long as we use our past to help us. Listen, church, we all make mistakes. To make a mistake once is okay. To make a mistake twice is tolerable, but three times is madness. We got to learn from the mistakes that we make. We got to learn from our past so we don't reproduce them in our lives. The sixth way to make a wise decision is this, is we've got to ask ourselves the question, what do the wise say? What do the wise say? The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no guidance, people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 18, 1 says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his or her own mind. So the question is, what do the wise say? And I pick up on this point, I made it earlier as well, that it is so important that we have wise people speaking into our lives, that we allow people who are wise to speak into our lives. Because it is possible to seek wisdom with the purpose of trying to sell your idea to someone. But I genuinely think that we need to open the circle of our lives and invite wise men and wise women to come into the midst and speak into our lives. It's surely it's a wonderful sign of wise decision making. In other words, refusing to make big lifetime decisions, life-altering decisions on your own, but inviting the wisdom of those around you into the mix. The seventh way we make a wise decision is we have to consider the consequences. We can't be blind to the consequence of our decision making. For every choice we make, there's a consequence. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:15, the naive believe everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 12, a prudent man and woman seeks evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. In other words, we got to assess the potential risks of every decision we make. If you like, it's the if-then scenario. If I make this decision, then what are the potential outcomes? Or if I make option B, the decision that I make, what then are the outcomes of that? Church, we got to really not have our eyes closed to the potential risks and rewards to every decision we make, which is why every single one of us need to consider the consequences of the decisions that we make. The eighth way we make a wise choice is we need to ask the question, does this decision taint my integrity? Does it affect the integrity of my heart? Proverbs 10:9, he and she who walks in integrity walks securely, but the one who perverts their ways will be found out. That's an ugly verse. Let me read it again. The one who walks in integrity walks securely, but the one who perverts their ways will be found out. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says this, a righteous person walks in integrity. How blessed are their sons after them. Integrity is so, so key. You know, the Bible says about King David that even though he committed adultery, even though he actually ended up committing murder, God says about King David that David had a heart after God's. That in the midst of all the chaos and mayhem of David's life at times, there was hope. There was something of the heart of David that was similar to God's. And I love that. It actually means that in your life right now, in the midst of the chaos and the mayhem potentially of your life, there is a sense where integrity can still be built. You can still have a heart after God's. Does the decision that you're going to make taint your integrity? I remember when I was a youth pastor, there would be times when, teenage boys and girls would ask me the question, how far is too far in my relationship with my boyfriend or girlfriend? And, you know, I often used to always say, listen, that's the wrong question. The question is not how far is too far. The question is how far can I stay away from even remotely going too far in this? I genuinely think that our decisions either lead us towards God or away from God. And in this issue here of does this decision taint my integrity, that the question is this, is does the decision I make, does it lead me closer to God or away from God? Does it make me want to know him more, or does it make me want to hide my face from him in the same way that Adam and Eve did when they ate the fruit in the Garden of Eden? Does this decision taint my integrity? Two more. Here we go. The ninth way you make a wise decision is you ask yourself, is there a better way to make a greater impact? I think wise people ask that question. Is there a better way to make a greater impact? Proverbs 11 verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and those who are wise win souls. Is there a better way to make a greater impact? One of the things that I'm regularly saying to the staff of Audacious Church is this, is if there are any systems, if there are any things within the mechanism of Audacious Church that are either A, frustrating, B, they impede growth, C, they just don't seem to work, then help us to find a better way that has a greater impact. Because the reality is this, is that systems do need to change over time. But wise people ask the question, is there a better way to make a greater impact? Let me run through the first nine again with you. Number one, what does the Bible say? Number two, get the facts. Number three, reject the pressure to make the decision. Number four, honestly evaluate your motives. Number five, use your past to help you. Number six, what do the wise say? Number seven, consider the consequences. Number eight, does this decision taint my integrity? Number nine, is there a better way to make a greater impact? And the last key, and really important to making wise decisions, is this: pray. Pray. Ask God for His wisdom, for His guidance in this decision that you're making. The Bible says this, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Luke 11 verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Ephesians 6, 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You know, one of the fallacies or one of the problems with prayer is that we think it's about us just talking to God. But prayer is more than that. Prayer is, yes, us talking to God, but it's also hearing His voice. What prayer does is this, is prayer allows you to eavesdrop on the conversation in heaven about you. My wife has got a great ability to be at a meal with me, and yet her face can zone out for a moment. And I know what's happening is that she's listening to a table conversation three tables away, eavesdropping on the conversation. You know what prayer does? Prayer enables you to eavesdrop into heaven to hear what Jesus is saying about you. I don't know if you realize this, but the Bible says that Jesus now, He intercedes, He prays to the Father on your behalf. He prays about you. Prayer is you presenting your request to God, but then hearing what the Son says to the Father about you. In other words, prayer is about joining in with heaven's conversation. I love this series, Word to the Wise. How do you become a wise man and a wise woman? My prayer through this next season of your life is that you build a really strong house, a strong house built on wisdom. Wisdom as a foundation with strong walls, a strong roof, a house filled with rarities, a house that grows, increases, and prospers in Jesus' name. My prayer is that God would enable you to make wise decisions in these seasons ahead. And truly, my friend, the greatest decision you can make is to become a follower of Jesus. That's what we call a Christian. The reality is this, for every single one of us, we're all on a spiritual journey. We're all on a journey of needing to know God. And there are different moments in life where we have something happens and all of a sudden something comes alive on the inside and we realize, I need God in my life. And what I would love to do right now is this, is that you've been on this spiritual journey and you've come to this point and you recognize you need Jesus in your life. I want to include you in this prayer. So if that's you and you're away from God, you don't have a relationship with God, but you want to become a follower of Jesus, then pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment. I'm sorry I've lived my life without you, but today everything's changing. I choose to make you my God, the Lord of my life. Help me to live for you. And I thank you that you've heard this prayer. Everything's different. Because you're now my God, I'm your child. Help me to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com, or join one of our live stream services, 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. every Sunday.